it was actually 6UVS that I first got involved with, and it was around 1983. I had no idea the station existed. I grew up in the country, grew up near Mount Barker in the Prongrup Ranges, and I came to Perth after I left high school to, you know, start my life. I was very keen on this brand new FM station that had opened, which was 96 FM. It opened in 1980, because I'd never heard FM radio before. So I was kind of fiddling around on the dial trying to find it, and I came across this station that was playing some great music, and then I heard someone come on and say, you know, you're listening to 6UVS, and I thought, oh, that must be the call sign of 96 FM. And then they said, if you'd like to volunteer, we're always looking for volunteers, so please get in touch with us and so on. And I thought, oh, it's unusual for a commercial radio station to be asking for volunteers. Normally they pay everybody. And I kind of made a note, yes, I'll get in touch with them. And then a few weeks later, I was at the campus of UWA to see a Festival of Perth film at the Somerville. I got there a bit early because I'd never been there before, and I was kind of like worried that I was going to be late. And I was walking through the campus, and I had about an hour to kill. And I saw a sign that said radio station 6UVS pointing down to down a road, and I sort of thought, oh, okay. And I wandered down, and it was in this kind of ramshackle old building up where the Lawrence Wilson Art Gallery is now. And I pressed the buzzer on the door, and this woman answered and said, you know, can I help you? And I said, oh, I'm just curious to have a look around this radio station. She said, sure, no worries, I'll come up. Her name was Betty Herridge. I'm still in touch with her today, which is great. She was doing a Italian program because we used to have ethnic access shows on in the evening. Pronto Italia was the name of the show. And it was all pre-recorded, so she was just playing it off tape. And she showed me around the radio station, and it was this kind of romantic, I guess, building. High ceilings, very old, very creaky wooden floorboards that went down to this brand new kind of studio complex that had been built specifically for the station. And apparently it was the third safest place in Australia to be in case of a nuclear attack, because the amount of lead in the walls. And so it was quite spiffy at the time. And I was enamoured with it. And she said, yeah, we're looking for volunteers. So the very next day I came back, and they made me start stuffing subscriber magazines into envelopes and putting away records in the record library, which of course was all vinyl then. And I just fell in love with the place and started getting my way around the station, and finally got to do a show, which was Stereo Go Round, I think it was a Monday at midday, way before Out to Lunch, the request show. And
Was that 1983?
1983, yeah.
So it's almost 40 years, Bobby.
That's right.
And we're celebrating 45 years of 6UVS, 6RTR, 92.1.
That's right. And of course it was 6UWA before 6UVS, because it was just a UWA station. And then Murdoch got involved, so they changed it to 6UVS.
Murdoch the university?
Yes.
Not Murdoch.
No, not Murdoch as in
the
Rupert.
Baron.
No. Thank goodness. I don't think it would be the same if it was him involved. But
So 6UWA, then 6UVS when Murdoch got involved.
Mm-hmm.
And then it became RTR in 1992.
It was 1991, I think.
Mm-hmm. See, we're very scratchy. Perhaps 91.
Yeah, so I'm pretty sure it was in the summer of 1990, or maybe early 1991, the board of UWA decided to close the station, and they just did it. They just walked someone over and said, turn this off. Then this kind of six-month period started where the volunteers and the members of the radio station formed a company called Arts Radio Limited,
mm-hmm.
and applied to take the licence for 92.1 off UWA. And UWA, from what I remember, had actually breached their licence, because you're not allowed to just turn a radio station off if you don't want to run it anymore. You have to keep transmitting something, even if it's just some music with a...
A Walk in the Black Forest.
That's it. Or the B-side of Walk in the Black Forest. which is a song called Nola, by the way. They eventually got the license and they came back on air as RTR, which was kind of a play on the word art and arty. And they went back to air with the same schedule as 6UVS, which was, to be honest, a quite expensive schedule because they had a lot of classical music which required, you know, research and scripts to be written for intros and all this sort of thing, which obviously, as with 6UVS, they had someone that they paid to do that. But with RTR, we couldn't really pay anybody. Kath Letch was the station manager, and I think she was on a very low salary. And I think they had a salary for one other person, which was like an admin kind of role. And the rest, everything else was volunteer. At that time, I was in Sydney. I went to a Mardi Gras in Sydney and stayed there for 6 months before I realised, oh, I've run out of money. I better come back to Perth. When I got back, I was at a loose end. I had no work. I realised that 92.1 was back on the air, so I went into the Sanders building and said, look, I'm free and easy. You know, do you need any help? And they said, yes, we need lots of help. So I got back involved and became their kind of production manager for a while and made a lot of stuff, including the Full Frequency theme when Full Frequency started, and Out to Lunch and all that sort of stuff happened while I was there. Then I did a stint on the board, and as part of that stint, we negotiated the move to Mount Lawley, where we are now.
Safe and sound.
Yes.
I want to go back to something of the lost 80s and talk about Ethos.
Oh.
Tell me about Ethos.
So Ethos, which stood for the each to his slash her own show, and I guess in this day and age it would be the each to they own show, probably, was a show that was devised by Chris Keeley, a guy called Chris Keeley. The idea was that it was kind of like a radio show from the 1950s that was kind of kitsch and in kind of dubious taste, I would say. So
I think that's very safe to say.
So we'd all put on, you know, voices and pretend that we were kind of, you know, in the 1950s. So everybody would sort of talk like this, and we'd play really crap music, like the sort of, you know, K-Tel sounds, 1001 strings and all that sort of stuff. The stuff that, you know, you'd find in the back of your parents' record collection. We had basically two boxes that we'd bring in. One was full of records, one was full of old 1950s magazines, and we'd kind of read articles and ads and things like that and put our own spin on them. After a while, Chris left the program and I kind of took it over, and people like James Eade again got involved and a few of my other friends, and we did the show every Thursday night at midnight just before Colin Bridges' epic BPM show. And it kind of evolved into this bizarre, it's hard to explain.
It was experimental.
Yeah, it was very experimental.
It had its own following in a time when you couldn't just share on social media that you were listening to something really wacky.
That's right. And I remember when 6PM, the AM station 6PM on 990, moved to 92.9, there was a lot of people that were ringing up and saying that they thought they were listening to 92.9, and they were a bit taken aback by it. They said, you know, I can't believe this is on the radio. You know, you've got these people that, you know, we had characters like Dr. Lesbia Brazil and the Senator Thanelia Cunney and
Wanda Honeywell
and the Pastor O'Brien.
Ethos. Ethos.
Welcome to the each to his and her own show. It's a very good evening to the lovely Dr. Lesbia Brazil.
And, there's a beautiful swell there, and it's a very good evening to you, and it's a very good evening to our beautiful callers at home there tonight.
That's very gorgeous indeed, and I believe that we have a caller on the line. Hello there, caller.
Hello.
Yes, who's on the line, please?
Ryan from Gosnells, wishing the Etho crew a happy Easter.
Why, thank you, Ryan. You're just...
Wanda?
Yes, Dr. Lisbon?
Have you got any drainage problems?
I do have a few. Hang on, let's check. Yes, we have a caller on the line. Hello.
I still think at this period, the early 80s in radio in Australia, it might surprise some to know, it was still pretty uptight, wasn't it? We still spoke in very clipped tones and taking the mickey like you did on Ethos and being so experimental was pretty important. I think we had a great space at UVS RTR in that period, much looser, much more experimental, perhaps dubious taste, as you suggested, but it had a place in Perth's art scene, didn't it?
Absolutely. There were shows like Artbeat that we used to do at 6 o'clock every evening after drive time. The arts had a big focus because there was just really no outlet on the media for the art scene in Perth at all. The ABC kind of had some limited stuff, but it was more national art stuff rather than local Perth stuff. And, you know, if you were like a visual artist that was opening their first exhibition at a tiny little gallery in Northbridge, you had no place other than RTR or 6UVS to kind of, you know, come on air and talk about your work and promote your exhibition. So,
and share your ideas with like-minded people.
That's right. But the big thing for me was the music. I mean, commercial radio was, you know, they'd have 100 songs in rotation and that was it. Whereas with RTR, the presenters brought their own music in and they weren't told what to play. They could freely select what they wanted to play. And some of the stuff you'd hear, I mean, I used to love listening at night when the specialty shows were on and you'd hear some great blues and some great rock, you know, rock and roll and jazz and all sorts of programs that would play stuff that you just never heard before. Mm. And there were many times that I would sort of ring the presenter and say, what's this track, you know? And they'd say, oh, it's this, and you can get it from Dada's, we can get it from 78 Records or, you know, Black and Blue Records in Fremantle or somewhere like that. And it really opened a world of new music to me after having grown up with commercial radio, which meant that, you know, it was kind of just a diet of that pop stuff. And
well, the 80s in particular, mid-80s, was a very strong pub rock scene in Perth.
Yep.
Massive crowds, big beer barns, five nights a week. What was the alternative? Where did you go to watch stuff that wasn't Perfect Strangers?
Probably places like the Shents, Shenton Park Hotel. There was the Hyde Park Hotel, obviously. That was, like, massive. Oh, there were so many venues in the inner city that I can't remember half the names now, because I was more into clubbing back then than live music. But
and what were the clubbing venues?
So you had, like, the Red Parrot, obviously, the Underground Nightclub. There was Limbo Nightclub, the Freezer / Aqua next to the Limbo Nightclub. There was Network, which is now, I think, Air Nightclub in James Street. It was a very vibrant scene, and it was also the start of the rave scene in Perth, where illegal raves were being held quite regularly.
I just want to pause there, Bobby. Did you not go to Connections?
Oh, no, I did go to Connections.
Didn't even mention it.
I didn't mention it because, well, it's still there.
It's about the only one there. So the rave scene, what's some of the music that you remember from that time?
I was very big on trance music. I used to love trance music. DJs like Mr. Whippy, Jeremy Junk, may he rest in peace. I loved, you know, that kind of Detroit house sound and so on. And obviously RTR really got on board with the dance music scene. Yeah, Underground Solution with Ben Stinger on Saturday night, which was just essential listening if you were into that kind of music.
Mm-hmm.
The Rhythm Fix on Monday drive time with Ardell Bucks and Chase was a great show. And then I remember having to try and convince Kath, the station manager, that dance music was a really valid form of music now and needed an outlet on the station. Which she didn't agree with because she's a country lass and she thought it was just a passing phase. I eventually managed to convince her to put a strip show called Full Frequency on at 3:30 in the afternoon because I wanted to get the kids at school as they were leaving school, because a majority of the patrons of these raves were kids at school, underage kids. She eventually relented and we agreed to do it. And obviously now the rest is history. The DJs at the time were the kind of big DJs of the time in Perth. So you had sort of Rachel Harvey, Dan the Man, who's now at Triple R in Melbourne, Reese Evans, Jeremy Junk, and Saxon, of course, on Fridays. And each day had a different style. So you kind of had the housey stuff on Monday, hip-hop rap on Tuesday. Wednesday was kind of happy, hardcore house day with Rachel Harvey. Thursday was trance, and Friday was that deep house sound that Saxon's known for. And it just exploded, absolutely exploded. And it actually brought in quite a lot of revenue to the station, because a lot of the rave promoters were come in with a lot of cash in their hand, say, I want an ad on air for my rave. And we'd happily say, yes, of course. And we often hit the limit of 4 minutes an hour all the time on that show. So I think the gamble kind of paid off. And obviously, you know, Full Frequency is still going, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
Absolutely fantastic.
What does RTR mean to you now?
I think the main thing I think about when I think about RTR is the relevance that it has in the radio scene. It's still a very local station. There's no networking that doesn't sort of take programs from, you know, the eastern states or overseas. It's every show is done here in these studios in Mount Lawley. It's probably the only Perth station that really focuses on the art scene and the music scene in Perth. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's amazing that, you know, after all of these years and all of the struggles where there's been times where the station's almost had to close because it's just got no money, it's still here and it's still relevant. And it's a very different station to what it was when I started, but that's a good thing because it's moved with the times. You know, when I started, there was no internet, there was no, you know, there was basically four outlets for entertainment, which was radio, TV, cinema, and print. And that was it. And now there's just so many options with the internet. I mean, you can listen to stations all over the world. You can listen to music on demand, you know, through your phone. It's quite amazing. But places like RTR still remain really relevant because I still find new music by listening to this station. And thanks to the wonders of Shazam, I usually can find out what the name of the track is without having to call the studio. But sometimes it does Shazam just doesn't work because the song's that, you know, out there that it's like, no, this isn't in any database. You'll have to call the studio and ask them what it is.
And if you are about to discover the artwork of young emerging visual artist in Northbridge, you'll hear about it here on Artbeat.
Absolutely. Absolutely, which is just fantastic because, I mean, I work for another radio station now. I have done for nearly the last couple of decades, which is a local station. It's a talk station. Again, we focus on Perth, but it's all politics and it's all the little neighbourhood issues that people ring in about. But we don't broadcast music and we don't broadcast anything about the arts. Occasionally, when things like Fringe World are on, we'll have a couple of the acts that are performing in Fringe World come in on our kind of more lighter entertainment programs, but RTR takes it a step further and pretty much has those events covered in much bigger detail than any commercial station, and even the ABC, which unfortunately is networked still quite a lot. It's not 24 hours a day from Perth anymore, whereas RTR is, and that's just incredible.
It's local and lovely. Happy birthday, Bobby.
I can't believe it's 45. In fact, I'm still trying to work out how the station can be older than me. No, is that right? No.
What's the song you want us to play today?
You've put me on the spot here. I think probably Safe to Sleep, a song called Safe to Sleep by the boys from Yummy Fur. Yummy Fur were a band that really took off and became kind of part of the RTR family when Genge got them in on breakfast quite a bit. And then he got there. There was two boys in the band whose mother was very active in the band as well. And Genge would get her on quite regularly, Mrs. Yummyfur.
I'm recalling this now.
The song Safe to Sleep, I'm just actually going to quickly look it up on my phone because it wasn't actually Yummyfur, but it was kind of like the boys from Yummyfur, and I absolutely loved it. And it's kind of like a song that's always stuck in my head because it was played a lot at the time, but doesn't seem to be one of those songs that people remember, which is unusual.
I was kind of hoping you might suggest Goosebumps by Christy Allen.
Well, I know that's going to be number one in the top 45 WA songs countdown, which is coming on later on today. So it probably shouldn't be played twice in one day. Because she had Goosebumps, He's My Number One.
He's My Number One.
And there was another song, I think it might have been something like called Fatal Attraction or something that certainly wasn't a hit, but Countdown played it.
Good enough for us.
I'm pretty sure she was an Albany lass. And I remember someone saying, they worked in Albany in a supermarket and they at a checkout, and they say, oh, Christy Allen used to come in here all the time and buy our groceries. Yeah, and I'm really looking forward to that being announced as the number one song for the top 45 WA songs later on, Goosebumps by Christy Allen.
Love your work, Bobby. Thanks for coming in.
No worries, Danae. This has been a bit like Lady Gaga and Liza Minnelli at the Oscars. I'm Liza.
I got you.
You're Gaga.